Success in farming is all about precision and efficiency, ensuring every seed, every drop of water, every nutrient and treatment counts. TerraPlex Ag is helping farmers all over Iowa and the Midwest do just that. With precision ag drone technology and support from TerraPlex, you'll boost your productivity and make timely and informed decisions, all while reducing your costs and increasing your profit. It's time to revolutionize your farming. Harvest the benefits with TerraPlex Ag. Visit TerraPlexAg.com.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Rhode and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
Welcome to Williams & Plume, Wednesday on a Thursday. It is March 7th. My name is Chris Williams, joined as always by Brent Plume. We are in the Wild Rose Casino Studios here, presented by our friends at MechDyne, the MechDyne Corporation, bringing you Williams & Plume Sunday and Wednesday. And we're coming off of a wild night in Hilton Coliseum. Never a doubt, Bloom. We all knew that Iowa State was going to pull that game out when they were down by 14 points with 12 minutes to go. And then the old the coffee for closers thing, whatever, however you want to say
ABC,
it about this team.
But always same, be closing. Yep.
Same deal, man. They are so good in the last 5 minutes of these basketball games, and they find a way. And that was a good BYU team, too. It's kind of Iowa State's kryptonite, and the Cyclones found a way. Really didn't play that well offensively still. They're almost in the 70s now in adjusted offense. They're cratering there. But we've said it a lot. Like, this is what really good teams do when you don't have your best ball and you can still find a way to beat other good teams, and that's what they did last night. Fun one.
Yeah, and I, you know, first of all, what a night. I mean, I thought it was actually our guy Kyle Oppenheisen had a great tweet that basically said Hilton refused to let Iowa State lose that game last night.
Great one.
And
that's
I think
good point.
That was the case. And TJ even said in the post game that was as loud. I mean, he's like, that reached a new level. And I thought the same thing. I turned to you because we got to sit in the stands, which is really cool, together.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that was as loud at one point when it was Lipsy made the and one. I was like, I can't hear myself think. Like, it was that loud. It was really old school. Everybody was into that game. Even the stripe situation worked, although we got criticized because we didn't participate correctly.
I don't do gold. I've been telling them to get rid of the gold for years. I've been very consistent.
People look down on us like you guys did. It was like, I'm sorry, I don't have gold either. I need to work on that. But
yeah,
it was just a great night. That was a Hilton special. You're right. I don't think Iowa State played great. And playing BYU again, no thanks.
I'm good there.
They have a way to just expose Iowa State's defense. But interestingly, I thought TJ outmaneuvered Pope in the second half because Iowa State went small enough that took Khalifa off the floor. And Khalifa was really just eating them alive in the first half with his ability to pass the ball. But Iowa State made some adjustments and then just made enough plays. And thank goodness for Taman Lipsy and Curtis Jones, because those two, at one point in the first half, you're like, is Taman okay? And then he had an unbelievable second half. And that makes me feel better about, if you can get him right, I think Curtis is playing great. Keyshawn's clearly a little bit slowed by something.
Keyshawn's not himself.
Yeah. But I do think that this team's going to be okay. But gosh, it does feel like they could use some kind of rest. I don't know what that means exactly, because you don't have a lot of time for rest. But it just struck me that they found a way again, but they can't keep doing this where you get down double digits.
They're going to lose one of these games.
Yeah. They just seem like they're again, they had enough, but they just seem a little bit off still. And I don't think it's a five-alarm fire situation, but, the offense has to pick up a little bit. They need Keyshawn. They need Milan to just get a little bit more going to the rim, I think.
Yeah, very well said. The situation for Saturday is interesting, too.
It is.
It's like, you got to go out there and give them everything. Houston could very well, with their injuries, lose to Kansas.
Correct.
And
correct.
This is money time for Bill Self. I think that they've been playing possum a little bit, and I could see Self going out there. You know, that's a seeding line potentially for Kansas if they could win at Houston.
It is. And you're honestly,
could be Omaha or Pittsburgh if you're Kansas, if you win that game.
Yeah, and honestly, for Iowa State, I mean, Baylor and Kansas are hanging in there, you know, more so than I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty confident. I'd say I'm 85% confident Iowa State ends up in Omaha. But if Baylor and Kansas both, you know, if Kansas goes and wins at Houston, look out. Who does Baylor have Saturday? I mean, that would be the next question.
Feels like Baylor will end up in Memphis.
I think so, but yeah, I hope that's the case. I think it'll be Kansas and Iowa State potentially in Omaha. I think that would make a lot of sense. But I don't think 100%
ticket prices are going to be out of control if that's the case.
Yeah, well, that's the negative with that. It's already out of control. I mean, look at the market in Omaha. It's crazy right now. It's hard to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think Iowa State's in Omaha. If Iowa State beats K-State, they certainly will be in Omaha. But I don't know if it's like 100% locked yet. And so that's why it's making me nervous. This Kansas still has a huge opportunity. And then Baylor's...
Well, it's a weird rooting situation for an Iowa State fan, too. Because it's like, in theory, you want Kansas to beat Houston.
Yep.
Because it gives you a shot to... Now, if Iowa State goes and loses at K-State, you're going to know. And then you just root for Houston to beat Kansas, right?
Yeah, good point. Because that game's that a night game, KU game?
No, it's like right after the Iowa State Kansas State game.
Oh man, we got it's a Saturday like, then.
Yeah, Saturday's nuts, man.
Saturday is nuts.
Like the women tip off at 11.
11. Yep.
Kansas City. The men are at 1:30. You've got Kansas, Houston right after that.
Men are at 1, right?
1 or 1:30? Yeah. 1. Yeah, you're probably right. And then you've got women's Big 12 tournament all day. And then I'm a huge UFC fan, and my guy's fighting on Saturday night, so I'm going to be up all night. But, like, Saturdays is, like, this massive day. And then you've got the Valley, if you're into just general college basketball, Valley tournaments going on. It's awesome.
And the neat part now is every game with a top 10 team matters for Iowa State, because you're talking about, you know, even if it's the Baylor-Kansas situation, sure, but then you're trying to still get that 2 seed. And so you're rooting for all those teams. And I think Iowa State would be a 2 seed if it started today, but you need all those teams to, somebody's got to lose there, because they are going to fight like heck to get Kansas and Duke on the 2 line. I just know it. I have a bad feeling about it. And Iowa State, I thought Hassel made a good point this morning, and he doesn't often make a lot of great points. But their Iowa State, it's just my observation, but it just doesn't seem like Iowa State's getting a whole lot of love from the national folks. You know, Iowa State's resume is top 6 good, and yet they're never mentioned in this, you know, who can win a championship contention, except for the odds makers who see it.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Iowa State's lack of attention is making it difficult for people to envision them as a 2 seed, when in reality they're a 2 seed right now. Just my 2 cents.
I mean, yeah, the thing about this team, which is we talked a lot leading up to that game last night, and I know you were on the same page as me. It's just like you just keep waiting for this Iowa State team to have a letdown game. And they really haven't, even in their losses. It's like you felt pretty good after Houston, felt pretty good after the Baylor loss. It's like they just keep finding ways.
It's the craziest thing, because Iowa State's 9-1 the last 10, and you know, 12-2 in their last 14, and yet the last Iowa State's won with 5 games in a row now. It's like, and they're not even playing great, which is good, but it's also somewhat a little hesitation. Like you hope you kick it into some kind of gear before the tournament.
One thing that somebody inside the program told me last night when I was texting late, just about like what we're talking about, like how do they keep pulling these things out when you're playing, you know, C basketball?
Yeah, they're not playing great. Yep.
The point that was made to me is just how close this team is. You see this much more than me. You're around the guys a lot more. But there's a really good example of last night when we rewatched the game. So Bloom and I are sickos. We got home and rewatched it in my living room afterwards.
Hopefully didn't wake up the kids.
Yeah, my kids don't sleep. When Robert Jones, BYU big man, goes to the free throw line for the 1-1. And you correctly called it where Bloom goes, oh, this guy's terrible. He'll miss. And he did.
He did.
And Robert, it basically just bounces off his feet.
Yeah.
And like a really clean, easy rebound.
He's the only person around.
And Taman just goes and picks him right up. And like kind of these guys really like each other. They are playing for each other. Both Iowa State teams are like that. I would say the women are in the exact same. It's the betterment of the whole, right? Now, yep. Iowa State's women has a couple of superstars, or budding superstars, at least. I don't know if the men. Like, Lipsy's the best player, but he's not a superstar. Like, he does things in, like, this gritty, grimy way that it's like.
You need to watch him a lot to really appreciate
it. Yeah. And last night was a perfect example of that.
He was awesome.
That was a Taman awesome. Lipsy special.
First half, and this is why I love Taman's confidence now, and it's completely changed Iowa State's trajectory from last year, because I think he totally missed the rim twice at the end of the half, and he just kept shooting, and then he goes 3-for-3 in the second half. He literally, through that stretch, it was Taman Lipsy carrying the water. It was awesome.
He pulled up that three with like 25 on the shot clock.
Yeah, and it bounced it in.
Around.
Yeah, it's great.
Whatever, man. Whatever works. He but will right. that team though. Him you're and the right. crowd.
You're right. There was something to Taman, and that crowd was not going to let Rob, Trey, and Hassan lose that senior day. I 100%. They were not. They refused to lose that game. And thankfully, BYU couldn't make a shot in the last 8 minutes, but. The defense was unbelievable. What was it, like 8 stops in a row at one point, 9 stops in a row, which is insane because BYU is one of the best offenses in the country. It was just one of those games where it probably doesn't get a whole lot of national notoriety, but people will remember being in that building last night, and that's what makes it
cool.
so special. Yeah,
and it was one of those deals. I'm glad I get to sit in the stands to experience it, and you could feel it that going undefeated at Hilton means a lot to that fan base.
It does.
And that's something too. And I know that TJ feels the same way. Like that, they want that to be a regular thing. You know, they want that to be like, it is in the same conversation as Hog Allen, but I also do like, there is a reality. Like when you go to a Kansas non-conference game compared to an Iowa State one, there's a stark difference. And what they want to do is just build this thing up. So it's like if South Alabama is coming to town, the students are still lined up. And like
sure.
that experience last night being there and the student section was completely full, like great job. Like that place was full for senior day festivities at the beginning. It felt really, really special. And that crowd was taking it personally that it potentially could lose was- that. Last
yes.
game,
yes.
You know? You could see it, even like the kids around us and stuff. Like they're locked into everything, and like it was a neat experience.
Yeah,
good
it was
everybody.
Yeah, it was really really cool, and it's not lost on me how special it is that it's been 23 years since Iowa State went undefeated at home.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff just doesn't happen, and that's more than anything, Iowa State fans take pride in. Themselves in a way. Like we're not ones that are going to be super boastful, but literally Iowa State fans, the collective of the fans can make a difference. And it did. I without the fan base, Iowa State does not go undefeated at home. Like there is just a sixth sense of knowing when that team needed a lift, and Iowa State needed a lift in the worst way. You get down 14, nothing's going right. BYU can't miss. And the crowd just said, nope, not today, BYU. We're going. And the cool part was the Ames kid who fed off that, who grew up going to those games that refused to let Iowa State go. I mean, it's just really neat.
He had that effort sequence in the middle of the second half where he, like, missed a layup.
Yep.
And sprints back, got the steal, goes back. And like, I don't know if he got an assist or scored, but it was like, there's no other guy. Maybe in the country who's making
that play. I was like, how did he do it? Where did he come from?
He's just, and he's the type of guy, too, if you're playing against him, that he's the annoying guy that just tries too hard.
Too hard. He's the
We've all
he's
played
the
against
hard.
That guy
it's
in
like,
intramurals.
Leave me alone,
what are you doing? go back into your zone. Like, none of us are playing man defense here, right? Like, what are... It was impressive.
Yeah.
Really happy for him. And they got to get Keyshawn right. I don't know what the answer is. I think the best move would be to sit him on Saturday. But again, how do you do that when you are potentially playing for a championship?
Yeah. Like, I give Keyshawn thought. So he's dealing with some sort of nagging. It's not like a long-term situation, but a little soreness. And I give him credit. There was some question if he was going to play last night. He battled through it. And I thought he guarded really well. You know, even though he wasn't making shots, he was still grinding. And I he was not 100% feeling great, but he just continued to grind. And, you don't win that game without him on the defensive end, too. He just doesn't he refuses to let somebody get in the paint, which is a credit to him.
There were a couple times, too, where I turned to Ryan Burchett, who owns Cody Road. Shout out to our friends at Cody Road Bourbon. We were sitting together last night, and there were twice in that game where I turned to him and I'm like, man, they should have sat Keyshawn. And then Keyshawn would make like a hustle play.
Yep.
Like 2 seconds later, I'm like, he heard me. You know, they're gritty, man.
They keep going. Yep. That's where you're never going to be totally out of it. It's not this team. There's stretches where it's like, whew, this is rough, but they just keep fighting. I mean, the toughness, the intestinal fortitude is just off the charts with this group.
I want to thank some of our sponsors, and then I want to talk about Robert Jones with you, a company that both of us are very familiar with. I've bought two campers from my friends at Plaza RV here in Bondurant over the years. Bloom rents from them for every football game for the We Will Collective. And I always wanted to get a camper. The pandemic really led us to it. It's been this outstanding thing for our family. Like, it's just getting out and we still have the internet hooked up, but just being able to get outdoors. And I would encourage anybody who's got a young family to consider it, maybe, because it's almost impossible to move right now with the interest rates and stuff, but you can still afford to go get a camper, and it's a little easier to choke down. And it's I'd highly recommend it. Go and check out their latest selection at plazarv.com. They've got all the pre-owned. They've got everything up to a fifth wheel, travel trailers, camping trailers. They've got it all. Motorhomes. And I personally, again, have used this company multiple times. PlazaRV.com. Locally owned. Really, really good people. I love those people over there like family. And they've been awesome to me and my family. And they can do that with yours, too. Also, want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking. GravitateCoworking.com. Weather's getting warmer. You need to get out of your house. Simple as that. Give our guy Jeff Wood and our friends at Gravitate Coworking a shot for your coworking spaces. They've got locations all over the great state of Iowa. Also, our friends at Kelderman Manufacturing, we thank them again for sponsoring. They do the Woody and Mahoney podcast. They sponsored that.
I know they did. They had Tim Fitzgerald on.
It was really good.
Really good. Yeah.
I would highly, highly recommend, if you're just a preview for that Kansas State game coming up and the Tangate stuff. And Tim's awesome. Their guest. He's a really good dude. I've known him for a long time. And that kind of focus. I want to talk about Robert Jones, but let's focus a little bit on this Kansas State road trip too. And we will touch on the women as well, who will tip off Big 12 tournament play on Saturday down in Kansas City. This Kansas State game is weird because they're all but out of it, but there's this rivalry thing, and boy, Bill Self got a little surly with Jerome Tang the other night. The Tang thing is weird to me because I think a year ago, like, even Iowa State fans, most of them would be like, oh, I like that guy. He's fun. He's like a villain now. Like, the guy is completely taken away. Nobody in the conference likes him. Nobody does, other than Kansas State fans. It's wild.
And even they're starting to turn on him.
Well, like, it was cool. Like, oh, he went up into the crowd and, like, you know, and I think he's genuinely a pretty nice guy.
Well,
but he's done so much like whining and like
weird stuff.
Yeah, it's been a really weird year for them. I don't know. I don't think this will be like vintage Octagon of Doom because of where they're at, but the people who are there are going to hate Iowa State. I can promise you that.
Yeah, there's nothing more they would like to do than spoil Iowa State's, you know, end of the season here. And they're out. Like they'd have to win the Big 12, I think, at this point to make the tournament.
I would agree.
But they are just not playing well. I mean, they gave up against Kansas, like completely gave up. He's running out of, I guess he's not, what did he call himself, Rocky or Denzel? I don't remember what compares, Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Willis.
He's like, well if he did run back into the building or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Bruce, well, whatever that motivational tactic is, it has not worked. But
they're just not
game.
Very good. They lost those players and, you know, they had all that drama early in the season.
It's just
really
weird.
Impacted them. So they're down.
Yeah.
But this is still a brutal.
The start is key. I mean, that's the thing. If you get up 10, 15 on them, they may just mail it in. If not, that place gets going. And man, I wouldn't be shocked if Iowa State loses that game, I'll be honest.
No.
I think Iowa State will be just a slight favorite. What does KenPom have it at?
You can pull that up. Give me a second. I can pull that up right now.
It's one of those games where it's like, like we say with this team, though, it refuses to lose. I mean,
it says Iowa State by 5.
Yeah, wow. I would be.
If Iowa State goes 14-4 in this league, like,
unbelievable.
How would you be a 3 seed? I don't know how you could put them as a 3 seed.
Totally agree.
In any scenario, even with a loss in Kansas City, I just don't.
As much
I don't
as
understand.
The Clemson coach wants to complain. No, they are a 2 seed. I mean, there's no question.
What is this Clemson guy?
Yeah. You know, don't lose.
I had a really good podcast on Iowa Everywhere with Michael Admire, the voice of the Drake Bulldogs. And we were talking about, you know, at-larges and stuff that's like very topical for a Drake fan. And how do you get in? Like, is it the deck is stacked against you, all that? And we got into the conversation about how all these Valley teams did the same thing as the Big 12 teams. It's like they can't schedule. Nobody will play them. So they want to go to the multi-team events, and then they want to get these shitty teams to the Knapp Center and just beat them by 30. Like, and Michael made a really good point, like that every league is doing that right now. It's just, and it shows how broken that system is, but only like the Big 12 actually was successful with it, is what we came down to. Like,
yeah, they did.
The
and
Big
they
12 didn't
people.
just figure this thing out and say everybody's doing
everybody
it.
Everybody knows it. Yeah.
It's just not everyone is good enough to pull it off.
Absolutely.
And the Big 12 just beat the crap out of these teams where, you know, the ACC wasn't as good. And that's simply what it is this year, in my mind.
And then, so not to get totally into the analytic nerdery here, but if you're the top conference in the country, generally your strength of schedule, I mean, the non-conference is going to be worse because everybody else is below you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be below. Somebody has to be the top. And just by nature, you can't play a non-conference schedule against the best conference when you are the best conference. Anyway. But, yeah, you know, and the problem is there's going to be a vindication one way or another for either the Big 12 is good or the Big 12 is bad based on the NCAA tournament. And that is completely unfair to base it on. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It is the best conference. And if you go 14-4 and with Iowa State's what it's done here lately, it just has to be a 2 seed. It has to be. But even if you're not, I still think Iowa State can get to that 2 line depending on what happens with some of those other schools.
13-5 and you win one in KC, like I think you're safe. I think if you lose the next two, maybe 50,
a 3.
50.
Yeah.
Three at the worst.
It's just, you know, you keep looking here and this you want to get some rhythm though. I mean, I think that's where I'm looking. It's like, yes, seeding is important, but you want to have a game, maybe it's going to be Saturday where you get back up in the mid 70s, you know, high 70s and get things clicking and feel like I'd love to get Milan going a little bit, you know, give me a 20 point game from him. Because I really like what saw out of Taman and Curtis. That's exactly what you need. But if you can get a Milan and a Trey and then a Keyshawn, I mean, the bigs are the bigs. They're going to do what they do. Not as concerned about them. I just want some confidence from some of those other guys as you head into March with the, you know, when the vibes are high.
And I also, listen, we've talked about, we think that they're tired. I think anybody who watches them can see it, but their defense hasn't gone away.
It's
the first half last night was more BYU, I think, and then Otts and KG and those guys made some really great adjustments, but their defense is still there. And the one thing I've learned about this Iowa State defense now, don't point out last year because it was the offense that lost that game against Pittsburgh, right? Like, defensively, they were great in that.
They were there. Yeah, and they turned them over a bunch.
It's really hard to replicate Iowa State's defense in the NCAA tournament. Especially, so like,
yes.
This is why this team, too, I love it if they get past the round of 64. Because to do that on...
2 day, yeah.
Because nobody scouted them at that point. And then, you know, you get some middle of the pack SEC team or whatever, like, sign me up. I love that on 1 day. And that's when that's how they beat Wisconsin 2 years ago. It sure as hell wasn't their offense in that game.
Yep.
They're pretty good offensively the first game, but like, they were not that good offensively in the second game of that tournament. And they because it's this high pressure, the way that they do it. So that's why I'm not panicked about this offensive thing. I think it's going to come back. I think it'll click at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, and then you're right. So once, and what Taman said as well in the post game, I thought was a really good point, is once our defense gets going, it leads to our offense. And he's right. I mean, if you start turning teams over 18, 20, 25 times, you're going to get layups. It's just BYU was that team where they do a couple things really well. They take care of the ball mainly, and then they shoot it great from all over the floor. It just spaced Iowa State out. And do not want to play a team like, if I'll be honest, Iowa State plays a team like that, plays Connecticut clearly. Even in Alabama would be interesting because Alabama can spread it out. Now, that would be a high scoring game. Alabama doesn't guard you or me right now, but you're just, it, the matchups matter. But you're right. Look what Iowa State has done in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. They have defense has traveled every single time.
Yep.
A stat for you. Since January 1, via Bart Torvik, our guy Bart, who's
he's moving in on Ken.
He's moving on Ken. Yeah, look out
moving
for Bart.
In on Kenny.
Iowa
Get
State's
on his territory.
Since January 1, so since conference play, Iowa State's number one in the nation in adjusted defense. Number one. They are a good defensive game against K-State and Houston potentially sliding back against Kansas from jumping to number one in KenPom. They're that close. They are moving in on Houston for the number one defense. So, which is what a world that Iowa State could be the number one defense in the country. But the point is that always is going to be there. Always going to be there.
And I like to eat crow, and I was so wrong. I didn't think this team could do that.
No.
I thought it'd be more of a... And that's why they're where they're at, right? Like, we were thinking, like, oh, man, hopefully they're a 5 seed. And they've just totally outperformed everybody defensively. And maybe I hope they don't think that. I think they always thought that they could get to that point. But they, like, that's what's so impressive to me about this season is if you go back and listen to all of our shows in the summer leading up to this when they're building this roster, it's like, Can you just get Milan to be decent? Can you do?
Yep.
What are these transfers going to be? And they've all bought into it.
They've all.
It doesn't matter which one. They've all bought into it.
Yep.
And not only that, like, buying into it's one thing, and then you got to perform, and they have.
Yep. Yep. And no matter what happens, you went undefeated at home for the first time in 23 years. So no matter what happens the rest of the way, you've got that in your back pocket, and I love that going forward because Hilton is brutal to play in, and it's fun to see. I mean, there were some years where...
Shout out to you. I think you may have called this, that they would go undefeated this year at home.
I think you may have called it. I felt good about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Shout
it's
out
just,
to you on that.
Well, it's just the style of play, and this fan base loves this team right now. That's why I'm excited for the future, and it just, you know, there's no reason to think that even beyond this year, this ride can keep going. And I mean, TJ's got a special thing going right now. And I'm just really excited. And you even heard it last night, and I hinted at it, but Curtis Jones says he plans to be back. He went through senior day, but he most likely will come back. Now, he could potentially go in the portal. I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's why I was like, I hesitate to say everyone's going to be back, but you just never know.
You don't know. We didn't think Tyrese Hunter would leave.
Yeah, correct.
You know,
so it's just like
that. Out of nowhere. So.
But the fact that you get that support from that fan base, gosh, it's got to be pretty intoxicating to be a player at Iowa State right now. And yeah, maybe if it comes down to dollars, sure, that's a different story. But the fan base did everything it could for Iowa State to go undefeated at home, and that would be really hard to leave.
Yeah, it's just, again, I'm repeating myself, but I'm really glad that I sat with you in the stands.
That was fun, yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know, maybe it was just the section we were into, but you could tell it's like, oh, they're down 14. Everybody gets louder.
It got louder,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, let's sit down, let's check Twitter. No, like, that's when they stand up and get pissed.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like,
we gave that tall official the business there for a while.
Chance? What's his name?
It wasn't Chance. It was Chris. Chris Passy.
By the way, was the non-continuation on Robert Jones worst call we've seen in Hilton all year?
It was so bad. What did they?
I watched that like four times. I still don't understand how that wasn't a shot. Like,
my guy Marcus Pettigrew had a rough game. Marcus, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are on your way to your next game, but just struggled. Just missed a bunch.
Cyclone Fanatic would like to welcome a new partner to our family of advertisers, Central States Roofing, which is based out of Ames. Central States Roofing is a proud family-owned company. Dates back to 1968. It is owned and operated by lifelong Cyclone fans and Iowa State supporters. My favorite thing about Central States Roofing is that 100% of their employees are local. They do not subcontract any of their work. Central States Roofing handles commercial projects within a 75-mile radius of Ames, Des Moines, and Fort Dodge. Cyclone Fanatic thanks them for sponsoring our coverage of the Cyclones this March. You can learn more about this great Cyclone-owned company at csroofing.com. Your wife is asking on Facebook, when was the last time we sat together as fans at a game? Have we ever?
Oh, my gosh.
Honest to God, have we ever? We've sat together on press row a lot of times. Have we ever sat? I don't think I've ever sat with you at Hilton, for sure.
Nope. A Barnstormer game.
Yeah.
We went to one of the
Vikings games.
Vikings games.
Some Vikings games together.
I've never been to a football game.
I don't think I've ever sat with you as a fan of an Iowa State game.
That's
right.
Yeah. We did the whole thing. We did. We hit Welch Ave.
We did. We drank the Ames Lager on tap.
Ames Lager on tap. Yeah. We met it. We're making progress with the Welch Ave.
Yeah. We encouraged our friends at Welch Ave to put Cody Rhode up on the show.
Yeah, we got that going. It was just, it's one of those nights, man. It was just fun. A blast. Yeah. Good. And so, I mean, we ran into a bunch of,
I met Wade Terry.
You met Wade Terry. There we are.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Matty Van Winkle with that pick. This is what pissed everybody off because we were not
in gold.
Shout out to those two little fellas behind us too.
Yeah,
in that picture.
Legends.
They were awesome.
Those kids were great.
Harassing the officials.
Yes. Yes.
True little Iowa Staters.
Honestly, it was a fun game. So yeah, that was the first game we watched together. So we'll have to do it again. We'll make it a tradition.
Yeah, really, really neat. And I just, again, like, I want to. I know, because I've had these conversations with Otzelberger. That was important to him. Like, we talked about it to the fans. Like, he gets there, and listen, the McDermott era wasn't exactly hopping, and that was the team's fault, right? Like, I mean, the fans.
I ran the numbers once. This will show appreciation, and this is why it's really cool. It's come full circle a little bit. And obviously the Hoiberg era was really good at home. But Iowa State in the McDermott era went under 500 at home in conference play.
Well, and then the last 2 years of Prohm, and the last one was like, I can't even, like, nobody was there. So that team wouldn't have won. It wouldn't have mattered. That's the worst Iowa State basketball team of all time.
Yes. And
then you go from that to where I know, I'll talk to him, but we'll do a pod after the season. But, like, that's a huge deal to him, is the protecting Hilton thing, especially you factor in his wife played there and she was part of all these great Hilton moments. And, like, Otz has seen it all from when it was bad to the build up with Fred to, you know, being a top 10 team, 15 team, whatever, with Fred. And then he was there on the downslide a little bit. No, he left before
he left before it got real sideways.
Halliburton injury, and then everything kind of went to hell after that. But I know how big of a deal this is to the head coach, and you could see it. last night.
He said it
pretty cool
in his opening press conference. He said, "We want to bring the pride back to Hilton Coliseum." I think he's done that.
No doubt. And it does remind me too of, for all those years where Finley was building up the women's program, and how these crowds will kind of take on the personality of the team and the head coach, especially totally. In basketball, because especially now, because the head coach is the one constant for the most part. And yeah. those Finley crowds were insane when he was really at his prime and yelling. I'd say he's in his prime as a coach now.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when Bill was yep. really, really
tuned up,
amped up. Yeah. And like the crowd would follow suit. And this Iowa State basketball crowd, it's like, yeah, we like threes, but man, we want to get a kill yeah. more. Kill, and like we kill, flex kill. Now because yep. our coach is wearing polos that are three sizes too small. And like, it's this vibe. Like it's pretty neat.
Yeah. No, and real quick, I think it's just, because that was the last game in Hilton this year.
Oh, man,
and
right.
Between the two, I think Iowa State went 35-2 at Hilton. The only losses were
Oklahoma and Iowa
in the women's
side. Which are two top 10 teams.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about, why do we love this place?
Hell of a year.
Well, that's why right there.
Oh, the hell of a year.
A hell of a year.
And so those like, women's games, the Iowa game was, they had the lead at the 4-0
yeah,
or at the 5-0.
Yeah, and Oklahoma was just really good that one day. But, yeah. man, it's just like now I'm kind of like I'm going to miss that place for 6 months or 8 months or whatever. So,
pretty neat.
Good times.
Thanks to our friends at the Iowa State University Foundation for sponsoring us here on Williams & Bloom and the Iowa State or the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. We have Forever True Day coming up.
I talked to my friends at the foundation yesterday.
Did
presented to them about the world of NIL and how it all works. And man, what a great team!
They're awesome. They're just promoters of us, and we want to really help them with their Forever True
yes.
Day coming up in April.
It all helps Iowa State. 100%.
Yes, we'll continue to tell you guys more about that. So remember that for your charitable givings, we want to encourage you guys to. I want to have a huge group of Cyclone Fanatics that give. And the thing that's cool about them is, sure, they want as much money as possible, but they want to engage young donors, and we have the opportunity to reach some youngish alumni, although our audience is kind of aging with us. I always tell advertisers, like, well, who are you talking to? Look at it like that. This is it. It's like guys in their 30s and 40s and their wives. Our female audience has grown so much over 10 years.
Well, like, well, I mean, we went to video.
Well, really though, like when we got Cyclone Fanatic from Jeremy, like, and it's hard telling with the metrics, like how accurate are they exactly? But the female audience was non-existent, and it's like 30% of our audience now are females out there. So that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Let's do our Wiffles Hybrids Big 12 segment, and then we will dive. Well, we'll have we're going to talk about the women in the Wiffles Hybrids Big 12 segment
yeah.
as the Big 12 tournament starts tomorrow. Of course, it starts today.
It does start today.
Yeah, the really
the
low.
Playing games.
Yeah, the playing game. Brent, I'm all messed up on this Big 12. I'm so like
are those
accustomed
games
to how it has always been, and like this
yeah,
is really
I know.
Messing with me.
Are those games even on the plus or where were we?
I don't know. Aiden, will you look up and see how we can watch these early?
Watch them?
So assuming the women play Baylor on Saturday.
Yeah.
So Baylor's ranked. Iowa State's not. Whatever. I don't care about rankings that much. Iowa State's what, a 3 or 4 point underdog in that?
I'd say, yeah.
Even though they're seated higher, they'll be an underdog.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'd say three and a half.
I wouldn't want to play the Iowa State women right now.
No, I'm excited for them. Because it's like they found their – so we talked about the men, you know, which find that second gear. I think the women have.
I do,
you know,
too.
They hit that wall. I think they hit that second gear, and they're like Addy and Audie and those freshmen are figuring it out. I thought Jalen Bristol's been awesome, by the way. The last 10 days.
Oh, she's really come on.
She's really, really moving.
She was
here.
The one freshman yeah. 2 months ago where you're like, okay, she needs to develop.
Give her another
take
year.
A little bit. Now, like, she's they got to have her on the floor.
Yeah, she's been, I mean, she does a lot of the things that just are winning plays. And it's just she complements that whole group, because she's kind of that Swiss Army knife who does a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So she's been really good. But I think, you know, they're definitely in the tournament. You know, you win a game or two in the Big 12, you might be able to slide up to a six-ish seed in the tournament. And then, you know, you get in a 6-11 game, then you play a three seed. The question would be, and I have a thought here.
Okay.
Could Iowa – would the committee put Iowa State in Iowa City? Because it might match up as a 7-10 with Iowa as the two. And the women also like to do geographic matchups. Part of me hopes they don't do that because I think it
God,
I don't know.
I don't want that.
I don't know if I want that.
I just don't want the toxicity of
correct. I think there is a possibility that the committee sends Iowa State to Iowa City for the opening two rounds. And then you have to win a game to get to play Iowa. And I think Iowa State clearly can play with Iowa. I mean, that's
the last
word
time
about
Iowa
that.
Was a two seed. They lost in Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah, but so I'm just
they were a one seed last year, right?
Iowa was. Were they?
No, maybe they were a two seed last year. When they lost to Creighton, they were a two seed. I know.
Yeah. That. Yes, yeah. But I guess I could see a world where that happens. Because that's who you're gonna. I mean, if you're a 7-10, you're gonna be matched up with that two, and Iowa's gonna be a two. So look out.
Do they try and avoid rematches in the round of 32, or is it's conference foes?
It's mainly conference first. Yeah, I don't think they would protect them. Now, generally, yes, but I don't. I think it could very possible to happen.
Well, I'll say this: it would be a brutal atmosphere, and clearly, you're playing against the best player in the game. But yep. They don't have a very good matchup for Audie Crooks either. So I think that if I'm Lisa Bluter, that would be – I don't know if I would like that matchup. I mean, especially because the Finneleys have – that Finneley staff has scouted them, right? Like, you know them. Like and, you know and, them better than these random teams from the ACC do.
And Audie and Addy would be a lot better.
Yeah, and like it would kind of be like a – can't really lose if you're Iowa State because nobody's going to pick you
to win. No, from that standpoint, yeah, no one's going to pick you to win. But also it's like – I don't know. Maybe I'm just the toxicity of the social media world. I just kind of want to avoid it. But
oh God, I don't even want to think about it.
I'm telling you, it's a real possibility, everybody.
Thanks for that.
So I guess if you win a couple games in KC, you probably get to a six line. Then you avoid that altogether.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. You completely just ruined my...
Well, I just know how the NCAA works. They're not going to go out of their way to... They like eyeballs, too.
They
just like
the
we have the...
Well, it's a great matchup.
It's a great matchup, yeah.
Honestly, and like...
They, you know...
Audie's going to be a household name starting next year.
Here's my other conspiracy. When it relates to, they will find a way to put Iowa in any primetime position they can.
Yeah.
So they will get, because I'm just, the numbers are there. For whatever reason, women's basketball, the ratings are off the charts, specifically when Iowa plays. And
they're beating
why.
The men most.
Yeah.
Most
but
times.
That's like, they, and the NCAA is trying to prove its TV value on the women's side too. So the point is, if you play in the Iowa's region, you will play in primetime. Like, it's going to be a big-time viewing audience as well. So, honestly, maybe at the end of the day, that's good. Go beat them in front of the national audience.
I think it'd be a great story.
And Caitlin Clark's career.
If you can avoid the idiots.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just ignore the idiots and maybe just embrace it. Iowa State wants to duck them, but.
I would embrace it in, like, a story sense, and like, how cool would that be if you did beat him?
Yeah,
with that group, and I don't know.
So anyway, just keep an eye on it.
So that's coming up at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Again, we anticipate that the women will play Baylor. Is these games? Aiden's got them pulled up today. They've got the games tonight are probably not worth much of your time.
Hey, look at those ticket prices.
You can get into the T-Mobile Center for $2 if you want to go watch Houston, Texas Tech, or UCF in Cincinnati.
The beer
go over to Friday's schedule real quick.
The beer is seven times as much as the ticket.
Hey, by the way, our event on Wednesday, that we're doing together.
We got tickets available still.
Can the public still buy these tickets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tweet it out. I'll tweet it out right after this.
So we are having a We Will Cyclone Fanatic get together. We open it up to our club members and our premium subscribers for what do we have, like 250 tickets?
275.
275. And we've sold how many?
About 200.
Okay. So there's not many left.
Nope.
We are opening those up to the public. So if you're going to be in Kansas City on Wednesday afternoon, so I believe the Alumni Association is having their deal at Kelly's in the evening.
Evening. Yes.
Yes.
This is
and
before.
We are from 3 to 5 at Liney's.
Liney's in Power and Light.
In Power and Light.
Yep.
And but all the so it's $20 to get in, but that $20 goes to the We Will Collective. What date does the transfer portal open, Bloom?
March 18th.
Okay. So that all goes to the collective, and it's just a good time to congregate and raise some money and help their cause.
Yeah, and we've got these commemorative
mugs. Oh, the
mugs.
The mugs, too. I forgot about the mugs.
If you buy a ticket, you get a mug.
And so it's like the old beer mugs from our college days.
Yes. Yeah, but they got some... I'm not going to give it away, but it's a commemorative edition. I'll just put it that way. But that we ask you to buy a ticket just because space is limited, and it also just helps us for tracking.
Oh.
Yeah. So could people show up the day of? Yes, you could probably pay the day of, but we would prefer you not do that.
Yes. So that's again 3 to 5 next Wednesday in Kansas City.
I'll tweet out the link when we're done here.
Okay, we'll retweet it at Cyclone Fanatic. Wiffles Hybrids Big 12 segment continues. Plant your independence, plant Wiffles. Let's look at the men's schedule for the final day in the regular season. So really, we're focused on two games here, maybe three. We want to keep an eye on Baylor, who is at Texas Tech at 5 o'clock. So here's your day. I'm going to plan your Saturday. The Iowa State women tip off at 11. The Iowa State men go to Kansas State at 1. At 3 o'clock, it's Kansas at Houston. And at 5 o'clock, you've got Baylor at Texas Tech.
Ooh, that's sneaky. Go Raiders.
Look at that.
Go Raiders, yeah.
And then you go out, you get a little dinner.
That's a beauty.
Fire up UFC Saturday night. O'Malley's fighting. It's my guy. Are you going to come over? Come watch the O'Malley.
Well,
fight?
So I'm still.
Oh, you're gonna go
tentative
to Kansas City.
To, I'm gonna go to Kansas. So I'll probably be back. Well, yeah, I'll be back by that because the
women
the
win.
Game.
So my wife works and I'm gonna be gone for a month.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm doing the dad thing. But then if the women win on Saturday, I will go on Monday morning and get down there for the game Monday night and hopefully they're in the championship Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Tournament starts Thursday.
Let's go.
For the men.
We're rolling, everybody.
Get back here, and then we're jaunting on over to Omaha. We are planning on doing an event on Wednesday night in Omaha as well. Details coming. Iowa State has to get there, but Wednesday night we're going to have an event.
Yeah. Tickets are insane. Only the Omaha region, just FYI, people.
Well, you don't realize, too, how few of tickets like these – universities get.
They don't. Yeah, don't. I mean, honestly, you're not probably going to get any from Iowa State because those things will be snatched up by the high donors real fast.
And are they all session? They're not. They're just
probably just the individual team sessions.
Hey, it's the price you pay when you're
Hey, you got to be good. Yep, when you're good, this happens. Here we go. So, man, what a ride. This has been fun. It's actually... You know, I love in a weird way that we've kind of documented this season through this podcast. You know, it's like you go through listen from October, November, December, even after losing those games and in Orlando when you were down there to, I mean, all this stuff, all the trials and tribulations. And it's just one of those, it's almost like a yearbook that you can commemorate through the podcast. And there's Elise right there. I know she's enjoying the season too. Feeling better, Elise?
Poor Elise has been sick all week. So we're having a daddy daughter.
There you go.
She's a poor kid. She's just got to like tough it out. It's March. I can't take days off in March.
You know, Keyshawn Gilbert played through it, Elise.
Dad's fighting through. He's got his coughing kid in the background. Yeah. Doing my best to provide here.
There you go.
We'll be back Sunday night. And we also next week are going to have some, we'll start all of our March Madness coverage. We've got a great team of sponsors that have come on to. I'm really proud of this. So this is like my Otzelberger, me being Otzelberger winning at home. It's really important to me. Like, I'm pretty sure we're the only outlet for multiple years now that has covered the men, women, and wrestling the entire way.
That's awesome.
Because there's really only one dedicated outlet that covers Iowa State wrestling. The Register has to cover everybody, and they do a good job with the resources that they have. But Jacqueline's going to be down in Tulsa this weekend. Sunday night, Bloom, we're going to need to record before Sunday night because that'll be awesome. If Big 12 wrestling goes the way I hope it does, Iowa State could have five or six guys in the finals Sunday night. And I will be doing push-ups, you know, just getting jacked up for that. So we're going to have to record on Sunday afternoon because I'm fired up for Big 12 wrestling this week.
Let's go. Man, what a beautiful time of year, everybody. We made it. Let's go. Let's figure this out and appreciate all of you. Man, I just want to say real quick, and then I got to run to – Chris, we got the portal opening March 18th, so I have a meeting here at 11. But
portal's opening.
But the amount of people is what made last night extra special. We saw at Welch Ave, met a gentleman, graduated in 57.
Oh, yeah, so
cool. Went to his first game at Hilton in 35 years. My guy Jay and his dad that were there, that was great. And then everybody that said hello and Johnny isn't around. It's just it's seasons like this why you're an Iowa State fan. Like there's a lot of toughness and hardship, but man, go undefeated at home. It makes it all well worth it. And so just can't thank everybody enough for the kindness and let's keep this thing going.
All right, let's do it. We will see many of you in Kansas City, or many of you are going to be heading down to Kansas City. Bloom will be down there. Connor Ferguson will be down there for us. And again, I think Rob and I will both, so we'll have triple the team with the women once they get to the semifinals. We'll do that coming up. Appreciate you guys. For Brent Bloom, Aiden Wyatt producing, I'm Chris Williams. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mechdyne, and we'll be back on Sunday.